that. Let's take our Bibles, go back to Psalms 119. And if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word in honor of God's Word, Psalms 119. We're going to read the entire portion again, and then we'll continue working on, as the Lord would lead, a couple more of these verses. And part of this verse of the song of Psalm 119, beginning verse number 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the rain. What a blessing it is. Thank you so much for the rain. We really need it in this area, and we're thankful for it. We're thankful for the great service we had this morning and all those that were here. We're thankful again for the faithfulness of God's people to be in your house tonight. We do want to think of and pray for those that are not feeling well, especially for Miss Tina and our pastor. We love them so much, and we are concerned for them. And we pray, Lord, that you give grace and mercy and healing. And Lord, just give some comfort, dear God. Give rest. We pray for others that we've mentioned and others that are not feeling well as well. We pray, Lord, you put your grace and mercy upon them as well. Give them healing. Give them strength. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with our service tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Be with our missionaries as well. Lord, bless them as they minister around the world. And Lord, speak to our hearts this evening. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's interesting that we live in a desert, and so we understand the lack of water. Now, we have some water coming down right now, and it'd be awesome if we had like a big dome that we just opened up and just had the rain fall down. Our house, our car has a moonroof, so anytime it's raining while we drive, we like to open it up and just let that water hit, and it's fun to watch it and fun to see it come. And when we're in the desert, we understand the lack of water. Even when we took our young people to the youth camp, we were several hundred feet up, but it was still dry up there, and we had to encourage those teenagers, make sure you drink lots of water. Because even though we were pretty high in the altitude, we were still high desert area, and so it was dry. And anytime any one of us have been in the desert, we understand the importance of water. We understand the importance of drinking water. Even if you live in a humid area, I was talking to Brother Ken, and it's good to see them back, and good to see them back with us. And they've been out in the Midwest and going through Texas and the humidity and how much you sweat, and then you sweat, and then you sweat some more, and then when you're done sweating, you drink some water, and then you sweat some more. You still have to drink lots and lots of water. You can get dehydrated, even though it's very wet. And we get this idea sometimes, and the Word of God is going to give a picture here. Now, again, we're still talking about the Bible. We're still talking about the desire of the Bible and the lovingness for it and the desire for it and the love for it and how much it means to us. And so he's going to give a picture here in our text there in verse number 31. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for my commandments. He can think back, maybe even think back to a time where he was in the desert or he was in a dry area and water was scarce and it was hard to get, and just even a little bit of water would have been such a relief for him. You can think of the idea of going back to the New Testament when the rich man was in hell and he lifted up his voice and lifted up and said, I just need one drop of water. The sentiment here is the same, to have a desire for the Word of God. It's being so thirsty. And the Word of God offers rest and security to those who seek it and to those who long for it. As that traveler in the desert, Jesus Christ, as he sat with the woman of the well, he told her that if you'll drink of the water that I provide, that you'll never be thirsty again. And the Word of God is a water, and it can quench that great thirst. However, at the same time, God gives a warning to those who would neglect his name, who would neglect the Word of God. When we love his name, we'll receive the bountiful blessings of the cool water of the word. And so look at the picture here as we see, first of all, there was this great thirst for it. Now remember in verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Once we've experienced it and we've experienced it, we want more and more and more of it. And there's a drive for it. Even as the woman of the well, when she got saved, she went back into the city and said, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. And they came out to experience the same thing she has. And when we really get to know the Word of God, we get to have a great thirst for it. We have a desire for it. Psalms 42, 1 and 2. God says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This word here literally means to pant, means to long for or desire ardently. And that word ardently means hot or burning passion. Have you ever had something so good that you wanted it again? Anybody? I remember when we took our trip to Argentina for our survey trip. We took about 13 people down there, and this was back when steak was cheap. You could have a filet mignon steak at a 4-star restaurant for about $7. Try that anywhere in America. And so we are feeding all these people 7 steaks, and for 10 days, I ate steak 3 meals a day. And once you've had an Argentine steak cooked in an asado, Argentine style, I mean, you don't want steak anywhere else. I mean, it's so good in Argentina that if you ask for ketchup, you have insulted the chef. He came out while to our group, and the chef himself, came out to our group and asked why we needed ketchup for our steak. Was it too dry? Was it too, well, why do you need ketchup for a steak? I mean, I'm telling you what, it's fabulous. So that's how I cook steaks now. So if you want a good Argentine steak, of course, you can get it from a couple different sources. I'm telling you what, I couldn't get enough of people that, oh, man, once you're down there, you'll not want steak again. My wife and I cook steak. We cook beef de lomo, beef de chorizo. Oh, man, it was so great. It was awesome. We wanted it more and more and more and more. But ironically, the longer we were in Argentina, the more and more and more we desired Dr. Pepper. You have no idea how much you miss Dr. Pepper until you've been down there for a year and a half, and then all of a sudden a store has 20 cans of Dr. Pepper, and they're about $7 a piece, but you buy every one of them because it's good. You know, the Bible here gives us a picture of a great thirst. He pants for it. He longs for it. He desires it ardently. I mean, it was something that he sought for. It was like he had a feeling of, if I don't have it, I will die. It's like being in the desert. How many of you have ever had anybody ever tell you this? I'm so hungry. I'm starving to death. Anybody? How many of you have had a teenager? They're always starving to death. Even though they're not really. But we have this desire. We have this burning desire for something. Look in your, I challenge you, look in your pantry and you'll see all kinds of stuff that your body probably doesn't need. But you just desire it anyway. And you go to Walmart, you go to any grocery store, and they're very good at putting out those things that your body just tells you, you need to eat that. Even though you really shouldn't. But the Bible says, remember now, this morning, we saw how wonderful the Bible was and how it should be such a desire for our heart that, man, we want to keep it in here and we want to guard it, we want to protect it. And the writer here is giving the picture just as that wanderer going through the desert, he's just looking for the next oasis, he's looking for that next drop of water just to keep him alive. The Bible says that the Word of God and being able to get into the Word of God should have the same pull for us. Like, think about it. If we get up on Monday morning and we've gone through a day and we haven't even taken the time to read our Bible, by that evening there should be such a pull and desire. I've got to drink from the Word of God. I can't believe I've gone an entire day and not read the Word of God. I challenge you to go through a day here in Arizona without drinking some water. You'll shrivel up like a raisin in about a day and a half. I mean, think about somebody like me. I don't have a whole lot of water reserves. I have to drink. But it's the same thing in our spiritual life. it's amazing how many Christians try to live and try to live their life without that desire for it. I mean, we go to the world and we offer all the world's pleasures and all of the world and the things that the world has to offer, but none of those things will ever satisfy. Remember when Jesus Christ was talking to the woman at the well, he said, "You drink of this water, you're going to get thirsty again. It's not going to satisfy you. The next day, you're going to be right back out here pulling some more out." You can try all of the world's offerings. You can try all the different churches and other different places around. But unless you get into the Word of God, you'll never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20 says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Even Moses understood that sin is pleasurable for a season, but it'll never satisfy you. I mean, think about it. If you had $1 million in the bank, would you be satisfied with that? Any millionaire's never satisfied with it. They got to have more, and they got to have more, and they got to have more. It never satisfies. Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." In fact, all of those things just lead to more destruction. It's kind of like drinking salt water. It's water, but if you drink it, you're not going to last very long. We have a lot of people that are, rather than fulfilling their desire, rather than getting into God's Word and spending time in God's Word, rather than keeping it here, close to their heart, and any time they get away from it or they've been gone from it too long, they should have a burning desire, a thirst for the Word of God. Yet they're trying to satisfy it with the world. I love what Brother Tony, he has a great phrase, and I ask him all the time if he's staying out of trouble. And I love what he says, "Trouble's too expensive. Just costs too much, and it'll never satisfy you." Never satisfy you. Consider the drug addict. Consider the drunk. Consider the person that is hooked on all of those other things. Ask them if they're ever satisfied with just the one. They're constantly having to go after the next and the next and the next and the next. And it's more and more and more and more expensive, and it never satisfies. But every time I get into God's Word, I always leave satisfied. I always leave satisfied. You see, the Word, this Word of God is an oasis in the desert of sin. You look over in Psalms 119, verse 89. Psalms 119, verse 89. "Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven." If it's settled in heaven, it came from God. Should we not want more and more and more of it? And desire more and more of it? The Bible says in Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." It's amazing to me how many Christians are so willing to just give up every opportunity to take a drink of the water of life. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, it's an opportunity for the church to get together and open up the bread of life, the water. And where is everyone? Where is everyone? It's an opportunity. So we can see in our text there, "I opened my mouth and I panted." Oh, I needed more of it. "For I longed for thy commandments." This is a little bit different word here. The panting has an idea of, if I don't have it, I'm going to die. Without it, I won't survive. This word "great longing" here, this word "longing" means to desire earnestly or eagerly. If you look back over Psalms 119, verse number 40, the Bible says, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me with thy righteousness." It's kind of a different desire. The one is, if I don't have it, I believe I'm going to die without it. You can go without food for a few days, but without food sometime, you're going to die without it. But this word "longing" here is more emotional. It's a desire from within to be around or to be with it, to be able to have it with you. It has nothing to do with your survival. It's just something that you've got to have with you. It's got to have something that means something to you. So God says, seek it where it can be found. Don't wander away from it. We heard in our text, it's, "For I longed for thy commandments." Where can I find it? Where can I get it? It's amazing how many people are looking for peace. They're looking for solutions. They're looking for answers. And they're all found right here. And they're all found in the local church. Isn't it amazing how many Christians will spend so much time working so hard to be so little in God's house? Have you considered how many hours a day God gives to you to do whatever? And so many of God's people are satisfied with just the 1 or 2 hours a week. How could we survive on that? I've challenged my teenagers before. Eat as many snacks as you'd spend time in God's Word. Every time you eat a snack, get in God's Word. If you don't get in God's Word, don't eat a snack. Well, I like snacks. Open God's Word. Get into God's Word. We long for all kinds of other things, but we get away from it. What's the Bible say? We ought to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I imagine trees around here, they got to work really hard to get some water. Work really hard. They got to have deep roots that go a long way. But they want those kind of things. They desire those things in life. And God says we have to have that great longing for it. We have that thirst and we have that longing for God's Word. I want more of it. I want to experience it again. Have you ever had a vacation that you like to do more than once? Some people like to go different places. Some people like to experience different places. But you know, if you find a good place, you go back to it again and again and again and again and again. Why? Because it's fun. Because it's exciting. And after a while, you get addicted to it. My family took us to Disneyland way back. And Disneyland was expensive back then, too. So they took us to Disneyland once. I was telling the preacher about this. And we went to Disneyland, but we went to Disneyland on a budget. like that's a thing now, right? But we went to Disneyland on a budget. Well, while we were there, we're just drinking water. We're bringing our own food in. So that was back when you were allowed to bring like a little cooler or something, a backpack, bring your own food in. We were doing it on a budget. By about 3 o'clock, my mom had the worst headache she'd ever had in her life. Her worst headache she'd ever had in her life. And she was just, her body was just aching. It was slowing down. She was having a hard time. She needed rest. She said, I got to sit down and all this stuff. And my dad finally broke down. He says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to buy a small Coke, just one. My mom took one sip. Headache was gone, immediately gone. And we thought, well, we know the solution. Somebody's addicted to caffeine and addicted to that soda. What was going on? Her body was longing for something that it thought that it needed. And without that, she was literally miserable. And when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So from now on, we're thinking mom's going to have a bottle of Coke somewhere at every time. That longing, that desire. But God says it's the same thing for our heart because we know that the Word of God is so wonderful. It satisfies every need. And it goes beyond just something that we need to survive, but it should be something that we look forward to. It should be something that we have. I'm telling you, the Word of God ought to be the top premier app on your phone. The Word of God. It ought to be a thing that you have. You ought to have a Bible in your car. You ought to have a Bible on your phone. You ought to have a Bible in your house. You ought to have a Bible everywhere so that if there's ever a need, you can read the Word of God. Have a desire for it. Have a desire for it. And then verse 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. So first of all, we see a great thirst. Third of all, we see a great longing. And then the last one, second of all, we see a great longing. Third of all, we see a great request. You see, he understands that God had given him the Word of God and had given him the solution, given him the answer, given him the living water, the bread of life, and he gave it to him. And he wanted God to do something for him. And so in our text, in verse number 132, there's an interesting word that's only found here. It's only found in this verse. It's this simple little word that thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. You see, he has a desire here, and he has a desire for the Lord to begin to look upon him, and he sees, and as he reads the Word of God, and as he soaks it into his life, and as he desires it, and as he wants to have more and more of it, he begins to realize and begins to understand that the Word of God begins to show us things that we need to do better, or that we need to give up, or that we need to do more. The more that we get into the Word of God, the more it begins to trim us, the more it begins to show us the areas of our life that we need to get better, just as we saw this morning with the windows, as it shines the light into our Word of God, it shines the light into our heart. As we begin to read the Word of God, it begins to show us where we can get better, where we can improve, where we can love God more, where we can be more obedient to Him. And so He said, look upon me, as be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. You see, if we want to have a right relationship with God, we want to get into God's word more. Why? So that it can make us into a better Christian, a better servant for the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 23 through 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we read the Word of God, we shouldn't just read it just as, well, preacher says I got to read the Word of God today, so let me get my reading out here, blah, 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 blah. Good, I got my reading done. No, we want to read the Word of God and with a desire, show me something new. I encourage you, when you read the Word of God, have a notebook next to you and a pen, and write some things down. How can you get better? How can you improve? Show me what I need to do to grow. Help me in my life. This word, usest, it's an interesting word. How many of you like English? Anybody in here was an English major? We got one. We got one English person. One English person. This word is written, and this is a long thing. It's written in a second person, singular, simple, present form. I was impressed. When I wrote all this out, I thought, man, that sounds really, really smart. And I have no idea what it means. I'm kidding, of course. It's written in the second person, singular, simple, present form of use. It literally means a verdict pronounced judicially to be worthy or wrong. In other words, God says, this Bible that I love so much and I have such a desire for and I pant for it, I long for it, it's precious to me. I'm going to keep it in my heart and life. And Lord, I want you to show me the things that are wrong in my life or the things that are good in my life. So this is what I want you to do. Just as you use the Word of God to judge or to bless other people, I want you to do the same thing to me. Look what it says there in the text. Look upon me and be merciful. Merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. In other words, this is the standard for godliness and holiness and righteousness. This is it right here. If you want to know if something's right or wrong, the answers are here. If you want to know how God believes about something or God's opinion of something, the answers are right here. If you want to know what God wants for you to do with your life, the answers are right here. If you want to know where God wants you to go or say or be or do, the answers are right here. And so the desire of the writer here, you see, uses this unique word to describe his desire for God to be a blessing in his life, not because he just wants God to be a blessing in his life, but because how God wants to use the word to judge him worthy of blessings or worthy of judgments. Psalm 7 verse 8, the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. In other words, God says, I'm going to judge you according to the word of God, but judge me or bless me based upon my adherence and my love and desire for the word of God. I love the Word of God. Praise the Lord, you love the Word of God. God says, well, I can see your life in comparison to the Word of God that you say that you love. Things don't match up. Or there's something that can be better. The Bible says in Psalms 54, verse 1, save me, O God, by thy name. Judge me by thy strength. We don't like that phrase in our world today. They like to say this a lot. Well, you can't judge me. Well, guess who can? God can. And that should be our desire. You see, we look to the Word of God, and God says, I'm going to judge the world, I'm going to judge my Christians, I'm going to judge my children, but I'm not just going to judge them just on some random thing or just some arbitrary thing or just some subjective choice. No, I'm going to judge you based on this. When we stand before God one day and give account, we're going to be judged based on this. When the lost man stands before God and he gives account for his rejection of Jesus Christ, where is it going to come from? It's going to come from the Word of God. We're going to be judged for it. But you see, when we have such a desire for God's Word, and we pant after it, and we can't wait to read it, and we can't wait to spend some time in it, and we can't wait to learn more from it, we aren't afraid of the judgment of God. In fact, we ask for God, judge me as thou doest to others. As I see that you judge other folks and bless or correct them based upon the Word of God and their adherence to it, do the same to me. Do the same to me. In fact, what Scripture says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, God, I want you to bless others and judge others based upon my worthiness of the Word of God and my love for it and my adherence to it and my willingness to follow it. This word here is written in the present form. As we read there, second person singular, simple present form of the word use, meaning he's doing it right now. He's doing it right now. We don't desire God, well, judge me in the past or just wait to the future, judge me in the future or deem me worthy or not. No, I want you to do it now, this morning, a Monday morning. God, when I get up in the morning, I want you to bless me today. Not just because I just want blessing, but Lord, I want you to bless me because I love your word and I follow it and I'm be obedient to it. Judge me based on that. I love the Bible here, that love, end of the text there, verse number 132. Do unto those that love thy name. View me worthy of it. Extend the same mercy to others. Psalms 51 verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. There was a desire. There was a burning desire to have a better, closer relationship with God, a burning desire to get into God's Word, a burning desire for God to bless us based upon my love for the Lord. There are many that don't want God to judge them because they don't truly love the Lord, because they neglect God's Word and they don't read it as they ought to. They don't study it as they ought to. It doesn't have the desire in their heart that they ought to have for it. Could I ask you a question? When's the last time you wore out your Bible? When's the last time you wore it out? I have Bibles that, man, I've duct taped. I've had to glue them back together. I've had to do all kinds of things. This is my second Cambridge Bible that my wife's bought me. And it's nice. My first one, the binding's already broken on it. And I still use it for my study Bible. But I wore it out from using it. When's the last time you wore out a Bible? When was the last time you told your wife, man, for Christmas, I need a new Bible because I wore my other one out and I need a new one? When's the last time? It's time, God, we just got into God's Word and just wore it out. I love taking people's Bibles and giving to me. I like the thumb marks on it. You get the little gold pages on it and the gold leaf, and it's just been wore out from people just using it and just wearing it out. I love it. Love it. When's the last time you wore out your Bible? When's the last time you had a burning desire for the Word of God? You know, the world is so good at getting us addicted to all kinds of things. Good at advertising. There's millions and billions of dollars spent every year trying to convince you to buy some piece of junk you don't need. I don't think I've seen any commercials on getting into God's Word. I don't think I've seen one yet. You need this. Perhaps if we had more commercials with something holding up the Word of God saying, you need this, we'd have a little less problems in our world today. Just as preacher correctly quoted the Word of God the other day, if my people which are will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. It's a correct statement. It all starts with getting in to God's Word. Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. Do you long for God's Word? Do you desire God's Word? Do you have a pull for God's Word? Do you pant after it? Do you have a longing for it? You wore out your Bible recently. How many folks have you told about Christ from your Bible? God used a unique word there in verse 132. Judge me and look upon me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. It's a request. God, judge me based on my love and obedience and desire for God's word. What's your desire for God's word? What's your desire? Parents, you're encouraging your children, your grandchildren to get into God's word. Grandparents, rather than reading your kids a story out of a book at night, I encourage you to get your Bible, read them a story from the Bible. Teach them God's word. Teach them those things. Teach them a desire for God's word. Teach them a longing for God's word so that they can ask God to look upon me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. We can stand with every head bowed and every eye closed as the music begins to play.